the book of Jude, the book of Jude, not a chapter, it's just one book. Verse number 22. The writer here, instead of some have compassion, making a difference, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Would you lift your hands and just ask the Holy Ghost to stay with us and help us? Precious God, I appreciate you, Lord. As you know, I would preach this, Lord. I really felt the burden on my heart to do it. I'm asking you to send your anointing, Lord, and back up your word with your spirit. God, be us in this offering, God. Well, the Spirit of the Lord's come by and touched saints' hearts tonight. But I got a sneaking suspicion that it is the heart of God for every one of us to leave here that's not saved, saved. And that's what I want to deal with for a few minutes. I want to preach out of verse number 23, others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire. And I want to preach on when kindness won't cut it. When kindness won't cut it. I read in this chapter of Jude, this little short book, if you read the book of Jude, it's just packed in there. There's so much in this book. But in these two verses of Scripture, I see two types of people. And I really want to deal with the second type. But to draw a contrast between the two, I want to look at verse number 22. The Bible said, and of some having compassion, making a difference. It seems to say here in verse number 22 that there are some people that can simply hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the goodness of God and the love of God and the grace and the mercy of God. And somebody's already said it, I believe, Brother Guthrie, just how good God can be to you and what God can do. And that's all it takes for them. They're saved and they're delivered from sin. They never go back again. I know a lot of people like that, and so do you, that all it took was when God threw out the net of redemption and somebody told them, isn't that what the Bible says anyway? It's the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. So that's the type of people we see in verse number 22, those that can just hear, it falls on good ground. That settles the matter. There's never another problem. There's never another wishy-washy. They're just settled and established. And that's really the original design of God. That's how God, that is His preferred method of choice to save sinners from sin. That's the way He wants to do it. He wants to present a sinner man or woman with the gospel, them respond, pray in the altar, get saved, and stay saved. But really, what God dealt with my heart with this afternoon is verse number 23. Others saved with fear, pulling them out of the flames. You'll hear a lot more preaching to this crowd of people. You'll hear a lot more illustrations that are geared toward this type of people. You'll hear more altar calls and more sermons preached that are trying to reach out to this group of people. You say, who are these people? They're young people and older people alike. The ones that are no longer moved by the goodness of God. They're no longer stirred by a simple gospel message. You can preach on the cross and they don't cry. You can preach on the love of God and they're not moved. You can preach on the mercy of God and they sit with their arms folded. You can preach about amazing grace, how sweet the sound, and it's done gotten old to them. You wonder why? It's because they've trampled underfoot the shed blood of Jesus so many times that there's almost nothing God can do to move them. Nothing you can say, nothing you can preach, no story you can tell, no illustration you can tell will move them to tears. They're those people that you preach to and you cry over and pastors fast about and weep about and pray about. And I know it's being recorded and that's just the case will have to be that. But I've got a sister that I love dearly, Sister Rochelle. But I pray and I'll cry and I'll weep a lot of times because it's almost, Brother Steve, to that place in her life. I preached the other night at the church and I told them, that they've said, and they've heard the greatest preacher. Some of you young people under the sound of my voice, you've heard enough preaching to save the world. You've heard every aspect of God. You've heard about His great grace and His extended mercy and His manifold grace. You've heard about His love and all of that. And there's no way I could preach anything to you tonight that you haven't heard. But somehow or another, it no longer moves you. It no longer stirs you. I'd have to say tonight that has got to be the most dangerous place you can be in, is to be in the house of God, and the Holy Ghost is moving, and the Spirit of God is moving, and you can sit on your pew unmoved. It's the group of people that Jude described, pulling them out of the fire. It indicates that there's a group of people that'll have to go to the very gates of hell before God can somehow stir them to attention. Somehow they'll be the group that has to get right on the borderline, right with tragedy, right with some bad happening in their life. Jonah was one of them people that fell into the latter group. Jonah chapter 1, here's a man that is privileged enough to have God to speak to him and God to talk to him. But somehow or another, between verses 1 and 2 and verse number 3, the first word of verse number 3 is the word but. Somehow or another, in that short span of time, Jonah decided what God wants me to do is not what I want to do. So the Bible said he rose up to flee from the presence of God. He went down to Joppa and bought a ticket. He boarded a ship headed to Tarshish. You know the story. But Jonah was one of those people that thought, Brother Steve, I don't have to do this God's way. I don't have to do it the way God says I have to do it. There ain't anybody going to tell me how I've got to live or where I've got to go. So he made up in his mind, I'm going to do my own thing. And that's fine and well. You have that privilege. But in book of Jonah chapter number 2 and verse number 2, Jonah told the Lord, he said, I cried from the belly of hell. The place Jonah felt like he was at, he felt like it can't get any worse than this. I'm as low as I can go. What was it? It was the mercies of God trying to reach a man that was on his way out. What really stirs my heart about this portion of scripture is that Tarshish was as far away from Nineveh as you could go. And what Jonah described as hell was really the mercy of God. What Jonah was saying is there's times in your life, there's times in people's life when God's mercy to him felt like hell. It felt like a place. What was that the way God wanted? Is that God's original design? No. God's design was for Jonah just to fall in line and do it. And I fear tonight that there's some in this tabernacle that you're at a place in your life where you've just about made up your mind. This is not what I'm going to do. This is not how I'm going to live. And that is your, that's what you want to do. You can do that. You have that choice. But I felt the Holy Ghost this afternoon deal with my heart and remind you there's one thing that you're forgetting about, and it's that God has the final say. You're not in control. You don't have the final say. You can't just do what you want to do and expect there to be no consequences. But God has the final say. You understand? There's many instances in the Bible where God's mercy takes on a different form. Ezra talked about extended mercy in Ezra chapter number 9. Another place talked about manifold mercy. Another place talked about tender mercy. But there's a lot of places in the Bible I can find where the mercy of God took on a whole other form. You remember the story of Balaam when he was going and he got in a straight place and his donkey crushed his foot against the wall? That was mean. It was hard. It was a mercy of God, because what he didn't see, there was an angel standing there with a sword about to cut his head off. You remember the story of Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, when God rushed in with two angels and snatched him out of the city, destroyed the rest of his kids, and burned the city with fire. It sounds like a cruel thing to do, but it was to the saving of Lot's soul. There's others in the Bible. Saul on the road to Damascus, he was headed to destroy Christians. God knocked him off his beast. I come to preach to you tonight, young people, that God, and I feel like I've seen this in a lot of, and I'm not down on you tonight, but I've seen it in a lot of young people. They get in a certain place where they played God so much, and they played church for years, and some of them's played it well. Some of them know just how to put it on, and some of them know just how to do it. But under right here in this tabernacle, I felt the Lord deal with my heart. There's some of you that's played church for so long, and there's some of you that's put on for so long, but I'm telling you something tonight. God has a way. God has things in His arsenal to get your attention that you've never seen. Amos chapter 4. He said, I've overthrown some of you as God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, and you are as a firebrand plucked out of the burning. Yet you've not returned unto me, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus will I do unto thee, O Israel, because I will do this unto thee. Prepare to meet thy God. See, there's some of you right here this morning, this afternoon. You've played God. You've been in. You've been out. You've been back. You've been forth. And now, really, and it's sad to say, you're almost afraid to come to the altar because you know what people's thinking. They're here they go again. Here they go again. It won't last. It won't stick. But I feel a burden on my heart to preach to you tonight. There's one thing you're forgetting about when you decide to play with God. And it is that God is not a toy. And God doesn't play by our rules. And God doesn't pet our sin. And God will not always look over it. Understand me. I know you've heard this kind of preaching all of your life, and nothing's happened yet, but all that is the mercies of God, because God cannot lie, and when God says He's going to judge sin in your life, you better believe it, brother, sister, it will happen. Reminded, I don't know if I told it here last year, but my father-in-law was preaching revival for Brother Jerry Turner in Butler, Alabama. They were preaching, the Holy Ghost had been moving. He come in for service one night. He got up to preach just like I did, open his Bible. And he said it when he opened his Bible, Brother Steve, he began to tremble. He got a hold of the pulpit. He's a big guy. He was shaking the pulpit, trembling under the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost fell on him. And my father-in-law looked out across the congregation. And he said, the Holy Ghost just told me that within 2 hours of service last night, you were sinning. And you were laughing about it because nobody knew. When he said that, the Holy Ghost fell in that place. Sister Turner gave out a message in tongues, and in the message in tongues, Sister Rochelle, in that message, she's speaking in tongues, and then she stops and begins to laugh. Just laugh forcefully. And Brother Rick said, I never heard anything like it. Then the service went on. Brother Jared Turner stood up and interpreted a message. And this is what God said. He told those two young girls. He said, remember this. I always have the last laugh. Every time my father-in-law tells it, I feel the Holy Ghost run all over me, because there's young people that's been around the presence of God for so long that now you just count it a light thing to brush him off. You count it a light thing to pray in an altar and get covered by the blood and go right back out and continue in sin. But I gotta preach and tell you tonight that God has ways to get our attention. God has things He can do to bring us to a place where we will acknowledge Him. I tell you really what the Lord dealt with my heart this afternoon in prayer. I feel like the Holy Ghost spoke to my heart. And God said, I've got ways of breaking your heart that you've never seen. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost. I felt like God whispered that in my heart this afternoon. He's got ways of breaking your heart that you've never seen. You know how to get around a lot of it. You know how to get over it. You know how to brush off conviction. You know how to push off a preacher. You know how to get off the phone with a praying mama or a praying daddy. You know how to get out of a lot of it. But understand me tonight, God's got some things that you've never seen. And God's got some ways to get a hold of your heart that you've never even dreamed of. Understand me tonight, that's not his design. That's not His preferred method. But understand, God will pull out all the stops to keep somebody from going to hell. God's not interested in you just having fun and you just breezing through life. He's interested in you, young man, not going to hell. Is it really that important? Does He really care? Yeah. Jesus told him, He said, it would be better for you to go to hauled and maimed and blind and to enter into hell whole. What will God do to get your attention? Oh, I really wish we'd have just went on shouting. I really do. But I'll tell you what the Holy Ghost dealt with me this afternoon. There's somebody right here on the sound of my voice. You've been playing with God for a long time. You've been in, and you've been out. And I know that sounds generic, and it sounds general, because in a crowd this size, I mean, of course there is. But God has somebody specific in the crosshairs tonight. God is wanting you to come to yourself before He has to do it for you. My pastor's got a friend that grew up with. God had been dealing with him to get saved years ago. He said, I'll come to church. He told his family, I'll be at church Sunday. Friday night, he knew he was going to church to get saved. That Friday night, he said, if I'm going to church to get saved, I need to go out and have one more big time. I need to go out and have one more party. But that night, what he didn't know, driving in a car with a bunch of boys that was drunk, that car flipped, that convertible car flipped. Trapped him up under the car from his waist down, Brother Steve. His friends are running off. He's screaming at them. Y'all, don't leave me. Help me. I'm going to die here. I'm going to die. Don't leave me. He didn't die, and he did get saved. But he'll live the rest of his life in a wheelchair. He'll preach the gospel, but he'll do it from a wheelchair. You understand tonight, young people, I'm afraid that we've got so comfortable with what we feel right here tonight. People shouting and speaking in tongues, and it didn't even affect some of you. Some of you didn't even bother you. That's an awful place to be in, because I read about a place where you can be past feeling. Reminded of the young lady. Same scenario. Promised to be in church Sunday. Going to prom that weekend. Had her dress. Was all ready. Something happened. A wreck. An overdose. Whatever the case may have been. You know where she spent the rest of her life. If I understand it right, she's still alive today. She spends it roaming the halls of an insane ward. Holding, like she's holding a dress in her arms. And she's saying, I never got to wear my dress. Well, I feel the Holy Ghost in here. She said, I never got to wear my dress. Young person, does the world really mean that much to you? Does the things that you're playing with God really mean all that much in light of eternity? In light of understanding that your candle can be put out in obscure darkness? Understand, and I'm not a doom and gloom kind of preacher. I'm really not. But I know when the Holy Ghost deals with my heart, does it really mean that much to you to have your own way, that you will gamble on eternity, that you're willing to trample under your foot the only thing that you have that can get you from here to heaven? Do you understand that the only thing that's keeping back the judgment and the wrath of God is the one thing that you keep trampling over, over, and over, and over? Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll just go to a different church where I don't got to live that way. I'll tell you what you do. You'll go to some charismatic church and you'll get full of the devil is what you'll do. I don't know where that comes. I feel the Holy Ghost right here, though, Brother Tony Walker. There's some people that they think they've figured out how to get around God. But understand, God's got some mandates. And God's got some set laws. And it don't matter if you go to this church or if you go to West Side or wherever you go, you may leave it. You may find you somewhere else to go that'll accept your lifestyle. But you'll never get around God. You can shout and you speak in tongues if you want to. But you're playing with something that's bigger than you are. You're toying with something that's a whole lot bigger than you are. And understand me, God always wins. God always has the last say. This isn't anything to play with. I know young people that's played with God. I could name you young lady after young lady, young man after young man. And every one of these preachers and some of you parents could stand right here and tell sad story after sad story after sad story. But what's so sad is some of you have heard so many sad stories that don't even move you no more. Let me ask you a question. What will move you? I feel God in this place. If they can sing about Jesus and you don't care, if they can sing about the blood and it don't bother, what will move you? What will it take? A car wreck? I don't know. I have no idea. Would it take what it took for one young lady on a winding road in Whitesburg, Kentucky, when the preacher come around the corner? He was the first one at the wreck on this side of the wreck. He gets out, and there's a home health nurse there in the road working with a young lady. He runs over and says, "I'm a preacher. Can I help?" He thought she would say, "Yeah, pray with this young lady." She said, "Yeah, preacher. There's a girl in the car." He heard screaming. He heard a young man screaming, "My God, I've killed her." There's a young lady in a car right around the corner. And the home health nurse said, "Yeah, there's a girl in that car that needs you now." He went to run off. She grabbed him, turned around, and she said, "Brace yourself, preacher. She don't have no faith." She had just prayed 6-8 weeks ago, but she started fooling with a boy that wasn't saved. He began to pull back out. The preacher went up to that car. He thought the woman meant she would be scarred and marred. And I don't mean to be graphic or gross at all, and I won't be the best I can. But a guardrail had come through the front window of that car, and it had come right across the front of her face. There was nothing there at all. The preacher began to pray, understanding that life was ebbing out of that young lady. He said, "Girl, I don't know if you're saved or not, but if you can hear me, Jesus loves you." He gave her a quick gospel message. She died a couple hours later. That's so moved, because you understand it was my father-in-law. It was just a few years ago. It so moved him. Brother Stevie talked about it for weeks and weeks and weeks. That's cruel and that's mean. Is it really? If it kept her from going to hell. You understand, hell, to miss hell is worth anything and everything. And God don't want you to go there. And he's willing to pull out all the stops to see that you don't go there. Right here tonight, the Spirit of God is so real. And it's so sweet. And he's been moving. What he would like for you to do is just make a clean break for an altar. Pray all the way through till you get forgiven of your sins. That's his design. That's his plan. And I'm so glad that even when God is on the verge of doing something like that, he'll give people opportunities to stop it. That's what he's doing right here tonight. There's no way I would have got up and preached if Brother Jim hadn't pressed me to after the Spirit had moved. And I wouldn't have if I didn't know of a surety the Holy Ghost has spoken to my heart this afternoon. Would you stand with me this evening? Somebody get us a song. Sabrina, can you get a song? Boy, I need a praying church right now. Oh, God. What else do you say? What else is there to say? I'm just telling you, some of you don't know me that well. I understand that. But I'll tell you, I know when the Lord deals with my heart. He got somebody in the crosshairs tonight. He's given you the easy way out tonight. He's given you another opportunity to pray on a carpeted floor in an air-conditioned building. You're not praying in a cold, damp jail cell. You're not screaming for mercy out of a car on the side of the road that's turned upside down. You're not screaming and crying when you're on the verge of going into eternity from a drug overdose. None of those things that I could come up with and think about, you're not there tonight. God's given you another opportunity right here in this place. I want to know, with every head bowed, as my wife begins to sing softly, are you going to take advantage of it? Are you going to move with the Holy Ghost? Understand, God can take it up another level. God can step it up another notch. And he will before he lets you go to hell easy. The way of a transgressor is hard. You know the reason it's hard is because there's stops that God's trying to put in your life to keep you from going to hell. Is there there anybody going to step out? Is there anybody going to come to this altar? Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost. Come on. Come on, young lady. Come on. Somebody else?
It doesn't matter.
I step out while the Spirit of God dealing with me. Because you know what would be worse than for God have to deal with you in another way? What would be worse than that is for Him not to deal with you at all. It happens. I don't know of anybody, but it happens. He's dealing so sweet right here, right now. There's some that's come and they're praying. But I want to give you an opportunity. You're still sitting in your pew. You need to be making your way to this altar right now. Come on. I'm telling you what the Holy Ghost told me. This ain't anything I made up or read. It's what the Holy Ghost told me. He's got ways to break your heart that you ain't ever seen before. Come on. They're coming. You gonna come? She's going to sing. We're going to pray with these that's in this altar. If you feel that tugging on your heart, I want you to know this altar's open. You're welcome to join us at any time. Come on, church. Let's gather in around these that are praying right here and help them pray through. I wouldn't gamble with my soul. You may gamble with your money and get more money. You won't ever get another soul. This is it. One opportunity, one chance. What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? What's your soul worth to you tonight? Come on. Let's get it settled with God right here on this altar. Thank you. Yeah.